John 19:25-27. Standing near the cross were Jesus' mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus saw his mother standing there beside the disciple he loved, he said to her, "Dear woman, here is your son." And he said to the disciple, "Here is your mother." And from then on, that disciple took her into his home. I cannot imagine how hard it would be to be a mom. I just can't. Like, it's a task. I watch my wife do it effortlessly. I don't mean that she doesn't put effort into it. I don't want to get in trouble, right? No, she, and I don't mean it's not hard, because I know it's hard. I know that she puts all of herself into it, her heart, her tears, her joy, into being a mom. And when I say effortless, I mean she just knows what to do. I don't know how she does, but she does. She just knows what to do. She knows when to be comforting, and she knows when Evelyn needs a hug, and when something is off with Elijah, and he needs something that he's not getting. She just took to that role as naturally as breathing air. And my mom was the same way when we were young, too. There were five of us song kids, and she had the first three of us really close together. The last two are oops babies, and they don't count. But my mom was a stay-at-home mom for the first three of us. And to this day, even though we are all grown, we've all moved out of the house, none of us live at home anymore, she still sees herself as a busy mom of five. She still drives a minivan. When it's just her, like literally, she 99.9% of the time, it's just her and her vehicle. But that's my mom. Then I think about how hard it must have been for Jesus' mom. I mean, the boy never sinned. Yikes. He never dishonored his father and mother. He never lied. He never stole a piece of candy from the grocery store. I think about how hard having a perfect son must have been. I mean, with Evelyn, we try and model for her what making good choices looks like, what being loving looks like, what it's like to show mercy and to show grace. And Evelyn, she has always been pretty good at those things, but let's face it, little kids are selfish, are they not? One of the very first words that every kid says is what? Mine. You know it. There are also times when I mess up and I have to apologize to my daughter, and I try to do that. I try to model that for her. Now picture having a son who doesn't have to have any of that modeled for him. He doesn't have to have modeled making good choices. Picture having a kid that never once dishonored his parents, one that doesn't need to be shown what a loving is, what mercy and grace are, because he is love and he is mercy and he is grace. And the only one that is selfish, the only one that would ever have to apologize in this relationship is mom and dad. How crazy is that? So today, we're going to learn two things, real quick. Two things we can learn from the word about moms. One, even on the cross, Jesus felt important to honor his mother. Remember, Jesus said, "I have not come to abolish the law or the prophets, but to fulfill them." And what is commandment number five? Anybody know? Honor your father and mother. Yeah, good job. You're listening. Jesus didn't come to get rid of that command, but rather, he shows us that he was the fulfillment of it. John tells us on the cross, in his final moments of life, in his moment of greatest agony, Jesus honors his mom. He shows the greatest tenderness and care toward her because he knows that his greatest agony is her greatest agony too. Going through what we went through with Elijah, I know I agonized through all of that. I also know my agony was a mere shadow of what Heather's agony was. Heather, she wore it, man. She lived it, every moment of it. And with that, I cannot imagine what it would have been like to watch your son, your 33-year-old son, your innocent son, mind you, be nailed to a cross. Can you? Chuck Swindoll said this. I thought this was amazing. He says, points out that Jesus spoke to his mother here when the soldiers cast lots for his robe. If you look at John 19, 23 through 24, it's the verses right before this. That's what it said. It said, they had taken the rest of his clothes and divided them. But the robe was seamless, and they decided to cast lots rather than tear it. And Swindoll asks, who do you think would have woven this robe? Who would have made such a beautiful garment for our Savior? And then Swindoll asks, why now? She's been there all along, watching and weeping. Could it be because of the seamless tunic? I think so. When they touched the tunic, they touched something very near to his heart, the garment made for him by his mother. And I think he may be right. Out came the lots, and they're gambling and laughing, and they touch his robe, and Jesus looks down at his mother in that moment in love and great compassion. And when Jesus saw his mother there and the disciples whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mom, dear woman, here is your son. And to the disciple, here is your mother. Which leads us to the thought that if Jesus, our Lord and Savior, felt it important to honor his mom, what should we do? How should we act? How should we treat our moms and our wives that are moms? The second thing is this. The strong faith of a mother leaves a legacy. 2 Timothy 1, 5 through 7 says, Timothy, I remember your genuine faith, for you share the faith that first filled your grandmother, Lois, and your mother, Eunice. And I know that same faith continues strong in you. This is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid my hands on you. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and discipline. Moms, I look around this room, and I see that we have a lot of strong matriarchs in this room. Do we agree? Yeah? We do. We have quite the legacy of faith that has been passed down from generation to generation. You all know who you are, all you moms and grandmas. You know it. And I just want to say thank you. Thank you for that. Thank you for creating a legacy with your faith. I think there is one thing that is above all things when we're looking at this leaving a legacy. One thing that a mother can do above all of anything else. When I was 3 months old, I was really sick. I had spinal meningitis in the 70s. That's not good. It's not good now, but it's not good then. And not only did I have, bacterial meningitis, I also had viral meningitis. So I had both of them going at the same time. I don't know how this happened, but it happened. And I was on my deathbed. This is like the story of my life is like different times that I've almost died. So, but anyway, that was the first time when I was 3 months old. And so my mom prayed. And my mom was a missionary in Korea at the time, so I lived in Korea, which was kind of a third world country, so not only that, is I didn't have the greatest medical care either, but my mom called her network of people, missionaries all over the world, missionaries in Korea, and missionaries in Japan, and missionaries in, you name it, Europe, and all, like almost every continent, I had all these people praying for me because I was so deathly sick. And then one day, I was good. I was better. It was the weirdest thing. Go figure, right? Is the prayers of a mom. I'm telling you, the prayers, one of the things that a mother can do is pray. James 5:16, it says, the prayers of a righteous man availeth much. What James should have also said was the prayers of a righteous mom availeth much more. You see, just like the resurrection changed everything, prayer changes everything. I love this in Revelation where it says this. It says, when he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and seven trumpets were given to them. Another angel who had a golden censer came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense to offer, which were the prayers of all God's people. On the golden altar in front of the throne, the smoke of the incense together with the prayers of God's people went up before God from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, hurled it on the earth, and there came peals of thunder, rumblings, flashes of lightning, and an earthquake. Now, it doesn't say it, but I think that the prayers, I think it's implied, if I can read into it. The prayers of the saints and the prayers of saints that are moms stopped all of heaven for a half an hour. Now, here's what this means. Here's what this means. When the saints pray, which is you and me, right? We're the saints, right? When we pray, heaven is quiet. Heaven is quiet. The praising stops, and the commotion stops, and the music stops. Everything stops. And prayers are heard. And it says there that all of a sudden an angel then hears the prayers and he starts throwing thunder and lightning. What does that mean? That means that when we pray, it's not literally thunder and lightning, right? Literally, when we pray, God hears our prayers and that activates the power of God. Moms, the greatest thing that you can offer your kids, your families, your grandkids, your great-grandkids is to be a mom that prays. That's it. Prayer changes everything. And you may say, but Sobek, I've been praying for my kid for 20 years or 30 years, and nothing is... Keep praying. Prayer changes everything. Thank you, moms. Thank you for the legacy that you have left in this place. Thank you for the legacy you have left for the kingdom of God. Jesus, we love you. We thank you for our moms. We ask that you would just make today be a day that's special. And not a Hallmark day, but a day where we honor you and we can recommit ourselves to being moms and families that pray, that spend time with you, that are committed to your body and your kingdom. Thank you, moms, for what you do. Thank you, Jesus, for rescuing us all. It's in your name that we pray.